I've been making films in Zimbabwe since 1985, and me and a group of guys, including Stephen Chifuniso, started up the first Frontline Film Festival in Harare. And the first films I started making were anti-apartheid films. But before that, I'd worked in the Ministry of Agriculture as a training officer, making training videos with peasant farmers. And then I made, in 1986, a film about how the frontline states were resisting South African destabilization. It was called Corridors of Freedom.
And 2011, you produced and released Robert Mugabe. What happened? So in your view, what happened? What did the documentary reveal?
Well, the title of the film came because we left the country in 2003, certain pressures on us. And in 2004, I came back and I was arrested, locked up. And while I was in prison, having been such a fervent supporter of Mugabe and having made anti-apartheid films and having worked in Angola and places like that, gave me pause to think, you know, Robert Mugabe, so what happened? And I thought what I should do is ask people who knew him very well, people like Tekere.
The late Edgar Tekere.
And I believe we got the last interview with Tekere that was ever undertaken. And he was, of course, in prison with Mugabe for 10 years. And Simba Mokoni, who'd been in cabinet with him for 20 years.
Minister of Finance for him.
At that time, there was a big polarization in the world about the representation of Mugabe. The Brits were sort of describing him as yet another African dictator. And that's really the answer to your question. So, Robert Mugabe, what happened?
Now, what about what happened in terms of your understanding of him, having experienced the land reform program? Was that also one of the questions you were seeking in this what happened?
Well, yeah, having been in the Ministry of Agriculture, I knew that there was a crucial point in 1980 and 1998 at which Mugabe could have legislated to say, one man, one vote, one farm, and redistributed the land, which would have preserved the economy of Zimbabwe, would have given a lot of land to peasant farmers, and retained the skills of the white farmers to drive the economy. When I was in the Ministry of Agriculture, I was working on land reform. There was a successful land reform in the early 1980s. 162,000 farm families were given quite a large chunk of land, and that was an orderly, organized land reform. And the farm that my grandfather owned was part of that process. So I've seen land reform work. So therefore, my reflection on the post-2000 fast track seizure, whatever you want to call it, is that it was very disruptive and a waste of a very valuable resource. As I said earlier, there was a solution that was on the books. Mugabe turned away from it because he was back against the wall, faced by the war veterans saying, you've got to give us more. And he did the payout of the pension funds in 1987, and then he did the payout of the land. But that was political expediency. It wasn't land reform as such. What I'm saying is that there's another way of organizing land.
I want to ask you, as a Zimbabwean, when you are in Zimbabwe, do you feel that you fit as a white Zimbabwean, or do you feel that kind of separation or disconnect?
I've never felt disconnected in Zimbabwe. I've always felt very connected.
Even when you hear Prezi Mugabe often speaking very negatively about whites?
Well, my mother and I fought against white racism, and I'm not going to pay attention to black racism either. You know, racism is racism. It's unpleasant. My experience of being there fairly recently is that I didn't experience any racial antagonism that I could detect at all. I mean, I went back to my home farming area, had Sadza Nemuriwo. I'm a farm boy. And Dovi and the whole Tutsi, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I had a great time walking around what used to be our farm. We sold it in 1968, became a resettlement area. I mean, I've been contributing school books to the school on that farm. I'm connected to those people. My parents are buried there.